And so Christ many times would speak parables to people, and He would use an earthly illustration to speak on eternal things. And that's what He's going to do in this parable right here. And there's things in here that we can learn to help our lives tonight. It says, "Then said He unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight, Lord. We pray, God, you'd give us unction, Lord, of the Holy Ghost now. And God, help us, Lord, to preach that you've showed us, Lord. Help us, God. I'm a needy man, Lord. I can do nothing without you, Lord. We pray your blessings, God, upon this service, Lord, upon this message, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. We love you and we thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach tonight on the thought of the gospel table. And, you know, this parable right here, as we look at it, you could look at it as a message to lost people, as God is calling them to come. But I'm thankful tonight that there's many times for you and I, as we go through life, that He prepares a table for His people, for those that are saved. And I'm glad that there's times when we come to the house of God, we can come in beat down, and we can come in through this old wilderness journey that we're on tonight, and we get down and we get low. I'm glad we can come to God's house and we can feast off of His Word. And if we come hungering and thirsting, hey, He'll spread a table before you, and He'll anoint you with oil, friend, and you can leave here different from how you come in. Amen. I'm glad God's all, hey, He says come, and I'm glad He refuses none. Amen. I'm talking about the gospel table, or we could even title this the great invitation. Listen to me tonight. He says right here that it's a great supper that has been prepared. And let me tell you, when God does something this great, and I tell you tonight, when He prepared the gospel for you and I, it's a great plan that He made for lost mankind. Hey, it's a table of grace. It's a table of the gospel, and it's for us to teach and to preach and to go out and reach a lost and dying world. I thank God for the great invitation that He's given in this passage of Scripture right here. Notice tonight, first of all, I want you to notice these things tonight. The preparation, the invitation, the cancellation, the indignation, and the elimination. First of all, the preparation. Notice the scope or the size of this great supper that's been prepared. He says right here that it was a great supper and He bade many. Listen to me, friend. What a great salvation that God has given an opportunity for lost mankind to receive. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me tell you, this thing is great. And He says right here, it's a great supper, and He bade many. Can I say the invitation has gone out to all mankind? Anybody that wants to be saved can be saved tonight. I'm glad that God didn't just pick and choose a few, but He loves all sinners, and He's given His life to save those that would call upon Him. The preparation is big. Can it get any bigger than that God would send His only begotten Son into the world to die, that you and I might have a chance at life? It's a great supper. Christ, He is the bread of life tonight. And He's available to all mankind. The scope was the size of it, the sacrifice. Now this man made a great supper, and he bade many. No doubt it cost him a lot, didn't it? And the invitation, we know that when he says he bade many, he was reaching out to all that would come. You know, have you ever gotten an invitation from somebody and they want you to respond to it and let them know if you're coming or not, where they can prepare for you? I think this man right here, as he prepared this great supper and he sent out an invitation, he bade many. He was looking for them to come. Can I tell you that when Jesus died on the cross and He cried, "It's finished," hey, the plan of salvation was laid for all mankind, and the message has gone out to all mankind to come. The invitation is open. And the price was high. Sacrifice. This man that, as Christ was teaching in this parable right here, the cost was great. Great. He sacrificed to invite people to come to this great supper. And notice this, not only in this preparation, the scope, the size of it, the sacrifice, the cost, but the satisfaction of it. In verse 17 right here, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." Have you considered what Jesus has done for you? Have you thought about the price that God paid to bring salvation to you and I? We're going to celebrate Christmas here right away. And Christmas has got to where it kind of irritates me, just to be honest with you. Amen? Because nobody focuses on the true meaning of Christmas anymore. Amen. It's all about Santa Claus. I ain't got nothing against Santa Claus. I ain't got nothing against kids getting gifts and things. But let me tell you something. The devil has stole Christmas. Amen. He has. And a lot of folks don't like to hear that. But truth is truth. The satisfaction. Notice this right here, what Isaiah said about the Lord's sacrifice. He said He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of My people was He stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Listen to this. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I'll divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I'm talking about the gospel table that God has prepared for mankind tonight. There was a great cost involved. God sent His Son to die. He didn't just send Him into the world, to fulfill the plan, but He sent Him to suffer and to die for sins. God laid all of our sins upon His darling Son that we could go free. In doing so, Christ taking our sins and God taking Christ's righteousness and has imputed it to me and you. I'm righteous on Christ's account tonight. Amen. The preparation. He says, it's ready. Come. All things are now ready. Come. Come. One word. Come. The invitation, the setting, it's supper time. It was getting evening. This man had gone to a great extent to prepare this great supper, this great feast. Now, as he has bade many, the final invitation goes out. Come. It's ready. This thing of supper time and the invitation to come, it shows an urgency to me. Have you ever been late for something? You ever been late for something you're supposed to have got to at a certain time, and or maybe you forgot it and you just didn't make it? And it cost somebody something. This man, he's made this great supper. The setting, it's supper time. The servant right here. Can I tell you, when God draws and calls a man, woman, boy, or girl, it's a very urgent thing. It's a very important thing to heed the call to come. It's supper time. Evening's going to pass. Supper's going to be over one of these days. And the great invitation that God has sent out to mankind is so urgent for mankind when God calls for them to respond, to be obedient. Notice the servant right here. He sent his servant. I'm glad that Jesus told us in John's Gospel, I think it's chapter number 16, He said, it's expedient that I go away. But He promised to send a Comforter, and that Comforter, He said, would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. You know, that's what He did for me when I was lost and undone, out in sin, doing my own things. God sent the servant of the Holy Ghost to me to convict me, to show me I was lost, show me I was headed to a devil's hell, and to draw me with cords of love to a place of repentance. He convinced me, or He convicted me of sin, and that I needed to do right. I needed to be right with God. He convicted me of that. And not only that, of judgment to come. Judgment is coming upon this world one day. Judgment is coming upon lost mankind one day. Amen. People have lost focus of that in the day that we live, but one day the Lord's coming. And right now the gospel table has been prepared for all mankind, and Christ is saying, come now. It's ready. When Christ died upon the cross, one of the last things that He said was, it is finished. And this man right here, he said, all things are now ready. Come. It's important to listen to the invitation and respond, because there's been a great preparation. And there's a great invitation. This is the day and age of grace. This is man's opportunity. Man lived in darkness. Man walked in darkness until Christ come into the world and He brought light. And the glorious light of the gospel shines upon lost mankind today. And He says, come. Come and be saved. The setting, the servant, and the serving. Can I tell you, God wants to serve grace to all mankind? Amen. The devil will tell you every lie in the book to keep you from coming to that come. I wonder how many times there's been messages preached out of this pulpit right here, and the Holy Ghost has gone out doing His work on hearts and lives, and the Holy Ghost and God is saying, come, come. And yet there's resistance. The devil will tell you every lie in the book to get you to put it off. I remember how he did me when I was lost. I remember the things that I was doing. He had me convinced I could not give it up. I couldn't quit doing what I was doing. He had me convinced that God wouldn't save me. But He was a liar. A liar. I didn't have to plead with God. I didn't have to beg God. All I had to do was ask Him, would He have me? And He saved me just like that. The invitation. Ain't you glad you heard the invitation one day? Amen. Ain't you glad that God came to you and dealt with you when you was lost and undone? The setting, the servant, the serving, the sounds. Just real simple. Come. Can't get any plainer than that, can you? Come. He didn't say you got to get cleaned up for this great supper. He said, just come. That's the problem with a lot of people today. They think they got to get cleaned up before they get saved. God will do the cleaning up after He saves you. The preparation, the invitation. Notice this, though, the cancellation. Verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Can I tell you, in the sight of Almighty God, excuses are unexcusable. You hear what I'm saying? When God says, come, He'll take no excuses. He'll accept no excuses. He's done the work. He's prepared salvation. He's prepared the great supper. And now He says, come. We're living in the dispensation and age of grace, but it's going to end one day. It's going to end one day. Notice in this cancellation there was collaboration. It says they all, with one consent. You know, we're bad to think about. You know, when I was lost, I wondered what other folks would think about me if I walked down the aisle. Folks will sit back, die and go to hell because of their pride. See, these that were invited to the supper, they all collaborated. They began to make excuses. And one consent. It don't matter what folks think about you. It matters what God thinks about you. The cancellation. Notice the explanation. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Anybody ever bought any land without going to look at it? I hadn't. I know I've heard of folks buying some swamp land down in Florida thinking it's going to be beachfront. But now that's crazy, isn't it? You see, I think his excuse right here just wouldn't hold up. I think his problem was he was too attached to his things, to his wealth, too busy for God. You know, he said, I pray thee therefore have me excused. You know, I think what he was thinking was, well, maybe next time. Maybe next time. I'll catch you next time. Or maybe next Sunday. There's some things I need to get straightened out before I come. We'll see in just a little bit. He never got that opportunity. Now, we go on now. He says, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused. This was supper time. This was night time. And he's going to go out and plow? They don't put headlights on oxen. Amen. Well, I tell you, we make all kind of excuses, don't we? Now, let's just bring it down to me and you. Look around the audience here. We got a lot more empty seats than we got people here tonight. Wonder what folks' excuse is going to be when they stand before God one day. He said to forsake not this assembling of yourselves in these last days, but man, I tell you what, we can find every excuse in the world not to come to God's house. Amen. These excuses, I pray they have me excused. In other words, call me again one day. I'll see if I can make it. Dangerous. God said His Spirit wouldn't always strive with mankind. It's a scary thing to say no to God. Scary thing. Dangerous thing. The cancellation. Notice this. I think one man's wealth may have hindered him. This man's work may have hindered him. Another one says this. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. He didn't say, please have me excused. You know what? He had a woman problem. He might as well have just said, well, my wife says we ain't coming. Henpecked, I guess. But you know what? As I was studying this, I thought about a fella that ought to be in this church tonight. 25 years ago, when we was meeting in our house, young man come, him and his wife, come one time, I think, didn't ever come back. And I talked to him one day, I asked him, you know, what happened? Why didn't y'all come back? He said, well, I know that's where my family's supposed to be. He said, but my wife don't want to come. And today he's a drunk. Today he's a drunk. Sad, isn't it? I married a wife and I can't come. She said I can't come. Well, I guess I better move on, haven't I? It was a great preparation, a great invitation, a great cancellation. But there was great indignation. Strong displeasure. Notice this. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. The master of the house being angry. Let me show you something right here. This ought to scare anybody to death right here. In Proverbs chapter number 1, the Bible says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you, and I'll make known my words unto you. The gospel's plain. The gospel is very simple. He said, because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Notice this. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For if they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. Indignation. You know, God can be made angry. Amen. He's angry with sin every day. Strong displeasure. This man that prepared this great supper, he sent out the invitation. Folks made excuses. No, he had a right to be angry, didn't he? If God sent His Son into the world and He placed Him on an old rugged cross and He laid all the sins of the world upon Him, and He gave a great plan of salvation, an opportunity of eternal life, and for man to shake their fist into God's face and say, "No, I won't receive Him," he's got a right to be angry, hasn't he? And let me tell you something. This is the day and age of God's grace, but one day mankind will see the other side of His face. Grace will end and judgment will begin one day. But notice this, the indignation, but notice there's a continuation. He says, "Go out quickly. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind." He reaches down to those now that hadn't got the wealth to go out and buy land, hadn't got the wealth to go out and buy the oxen. Hey, these people right here are poor, they're maimed, they're halt, and they're blind. They're just like a lost person. Amen. Lame, blind. Amen. That's exactly where I was when the Lord found me, friend. I was maimed, I was halt, wounded by sin and transgression, friend. I couldn't see how to get to God, but thank God He came to where I was. Gave me a chance at life. Whosoever will, He says, go out into the highways and bring them in. Glad there's a continuation. But notice He said, go out quickly. Quickly. Oh, it's so urgent. It's so urgent that when the gospel goes out, that people respond quickly. I remember seeing Billy Graham on TV many times. And when he'd give an invitation, he'd say, "I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to ask you to come." I've heard him say, "Come quickly. Come quickly." And no doubt he led thousands of people to the Lord. And today, God is still saying, "Come. Come quickly." And there's a great exhortation here in this right here. A whosoever gospel, whosoever could come and sit down at this man's table. Whosoever. All them that's been wounded by sin, poor, maimed, halt, and blind, go out and get them. He wants his table filled. Said the Lord said unto His servant, or verse 22, and the servant said, "Lord, it's done as Thou hast commanded, yet there is room." I'm glad there's still room tonight at the Lord's table. I'm glad there's room for one more. One more. This great marriage supper, though, one of these days, the last seat will be taken. And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways, hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." You know, that's our duty tonight. Amen. If I ask a show of hands in here tonight of people that's got lost loved ones, you thought about your kinfolk, you'd have to raise your hand, I'm sure. When's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you went to see them? Think about it. Go out. Compel them to come. Beg them. Plead with them. Tell them the old story. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Tell them that judgment's awaiting, heaven or hell. I had a granddaddy. Lost everything he had in the Great Depression. And he never owned a car afterwards. Lost his house, farm. And he was a sharecropper after that. And he didn't even have a car. But I've had people tell me that if God laid somebody on His heart, He'd walk for miles to get to their house to witness to them, tell them about Jesus. Or He'd catch a bus and go to their, if they lived a long ways off, to witness to them, to tell them about Christ. I wish we could get that kind of burden today. I think that has a lot to do with the reason there's not many people being saved in our day. We don't have a burden for lost people. Amen. As a whole, our church doesn't have a burden for lost people. People are dying and going to hell by the droves. Last verse, he says, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." There's a deadline. A deadline. The preparation, the invitation, the cancellation, the indignation. And lastly, there's an elimination. They chose not to come when the invitation was sent. He said, none of those, not a one, not a one of those that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Sad ending to that parable, isn't it? Amen. The great supper, the great gospel table that God's prepared, so important for mankind to take their place around God's table. Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight.